Still so much more about his game that you figure will come in years as Bolden denies Durant.
NBA Straya. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Straya. It is Friday, February 1. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to shell out that sweet, sweet folding stuff for me to write words. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios. Actually, it's Chateau Amour Beach Studios at the moment. Letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. After we, wrap up every single day of NBA action? Just while repping Straya a little bit? Oh yeah, it's just what we do. And speaking of which, Australia now has an NBA All-Star, not in Kyrie Irving division, which is pretty great. So we're going to get stuck into all this sort of stuff, man. Some other stuff happened today as well. Yeah, like, you know, Kristaps Porzingis being fucking traded. Unreal. So we've got a huge buddy trade to break down for you with the Knicks sending Kristaps to the Mavs. We've still got Anthony Davis moping around New Orleans like a hungover nerd on spring break. We'll go through the All-Star reserves. We're going to do all the usual dumbassery. That's not a knife. Old mate, no mate. Spud of the night. And better than Lonzo Ball. There's, of course, There's the unpopular opinion of the day and Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up flame grill takes. We've got a pick and preview for every single game on the weekend. We are, award our dickhead of the week. We have a Mark Bracke sweaty hairy guy and a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. And we're going to close out with a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Oh, chock full. Let's get stuck in, shall we? All right, man. It's NBA Australia episode 224. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Ah, you better, or you better watch out for the attack of the 7'3" Latvian leaving New York City in flames behind him, as every Knicks fan I know has spent the entire day in fucking, like, what? All seven stages of grief, where they're just like blaming everybody, they're coming to terms with it, then they're like, no, we're much better off. I love it. So let's just go straight into it, shall we, with the daily whip around. It's the way we start every episode of NBA Australia. And obviously, look, it's some pretty big news, isn't it, when the Extreme Zinger Meal gets traded.
Extreme Zinger Meal.
That's right. It was the Extreme Zinger Meal getting traded to the Dallas Mavericks that everybody woke up to in Australia this morning. I knew because I was up with the squid pretty early, and it's like, oh, shit. Plus, mates of mine back in New York are like, oh, fuck, Jimmy, what's going on, mate? And I'm like, your team's fucked you. Yeah, that's right, man. Kristaps Porzingis, the unicorn. The fully charged Zinger meal.
Supercharged Zinger burger.
Yeah, the fully charged, supercharged Zinger burger. Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee. That's Tim Hardaway the lesser, not old Tim Hardaway. Courtney Lee, Trey Burke, all go to Dallas in exchange for Dennis Smith Jr., DSJ, Wes Matthews, DeAndre, get me out of here, Jordan, and two first round draft picks going back to the Knicks. Ooh, Nelly. So, this is pretty wild, right? So, Woj basically explained this as Kristaps went into a meeting with the Knicks brass and was like, you know what? This is all well and good, but you guys are kind of shitty and you need to up your game. Or I kind of wouldn't mind getting the fuck out of Dodge, you know what I'm saying? And they're like, oh, hey, Kristaps, how you going? Oh, fucking what? All right. And 5 minutes later, motherfucker was traded. Jesus, that's quicker than my mate Tim losing his virginity. So pick details via the, a bit of memo. So those two draft picks are pretty interesting because New York receives the next available Dallas first rounder that is unprotected depending on when... the Dallas pick goes to Atlanta as part of the Trae Young Luka Doncic trade. And then the Knicks receive Dallas's 2023, 24, or 25 first rounder, depending on when that first one goes. And that second one is protected top 10 those 3 years. And if they haven't gotten it by 2025,
it turns into a second round pick in 2025, which is nuts. All right, so what are your initial impressions? How did you feel about when you saw this? Because I was just like, ha, the Knicks are fucking stupid. Jesus. So let's do a little bit of winners and losers, shall we? Oh, let's do the damn thing. I love when we get to whip this out just any time. Let's do it.
Oh, my God. I won. I won. Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is me,
Kent Brockman. Or it might actually be the Dallas Mavericks of Dallas, Texas. That's right. They get to pair Luka Doncic with another blue chipper, which is rare as fuck, right? Like, it's just, like, who cares what you're giving up at this point? Oh, no, not Dennis Smith Jr. Fuck off. Mate, I would trade Dennis Smith Jr. 27 times for fucking Kristaps Porzingis. I once watched this fucking beast of a person block a shot without leaving the floor and not even, like, letting the ball leave his hand. He just scooped it up in his arm, threw an outlet pass, and off they went. The dude is an absolute monster on both ends of the floor. It is absolutely wild. And not only do they get Kristaps, but yeah, they take back a bunch of salary in Hardaway the Lesser. But he and Courtney Lee give them at least a little bit of perimeter shooting and a little bit of D, if you're talking about Courtney Lee. Opposite Harrison Barnes on the wings there. And then you got Luka, Zinger, and your sort of weird combo forward combo of Maxi Kleber, Dwight Powell, and Dorial Finney-Smith, as well as Deadeye Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. That's unreal. You got Devo Harris and Luka as your points. You got Dirk Nowitzki just out there cranking them on. That's fun as hell. Mavericks, massive winners. They pair a seemingly once-in-a-generation talent with another once-in-a-generation unicorn talent, provided he comes back healthy. But yeah, definite fucking winners, right? The Mavs, I'm feeling it. The fact that people are poo-pooing this for the Mavs just seems completely fucking bonkers to me. Like, Luka, he's like, what, 19? He's going to turn 20. And you know what's really fucking hard? Putting someone who's really good on a team and then adding to that team and adding someone who's really fucking good as well. It's nigh on fucking impossible. Especially when they're on like a similar kind of age and a similar sort of timeline. And whose games mesh so fucking perfectly well as Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis. If you don't think the Mavs are fucking winners here, you're fucking nuts. Nuts, 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 nuts. Absolutely fucking nuts. Mavs, huge winners. What about losers, though?
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you.
You guys.
Losers.
Losers. That'd be the
loser.
Loser. New York Knickerbockers of New York City, wouldn't it? I mean, they gave up the best player in the trade, which is an automatic loss, in my opinion. And when it's a unicorn that you're trading, motherfucker, you need something back a little bit more than Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Wes Matthews, and two probably late first-round picks. Get the fuck out of here. Absolutely fucking nuts. So, look, Knicks, absolute fucking losers in this, and it also keeps up the Knicks' run of never ever signing their own draft picks to a non-rookie multi-year contract. The last time they signed one of their own draft picks to a multi-year second, like off their rookie contract, it was Charlie Ward. He was drafted in 1994. Knicks, you're a fucking clown car. Jesus. Kind of winners if they end up landing two max free agents, though. Also the Knicks. So look, the Knicks are losers and winners in this kind of thing, if you're asking me, because look, the only upside for the Knicks in this entire thing is the fact that they shed the $31 million owed to Tim Hardaway the Lesser and Courtney Lee, as well as Kristaps' $17.1 million cap hold, which leaves them of $71-ish million in cap space this summer, right? And you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's kind of neat. Yeah, but at the same time, who the fuck are you going to sign with all that cap space who is actually substantially better than Kristaps Porzingis that you couldn't have just signed one and paired them with Kristaps Porzingis? You fucking morons. Jesus, you can always shed salary. Fucking hell, Knicks. God damn it. Which leads me to, look, the two max free agent thing is good. That's awesome. And the Knicks are sort of sitting there going, oh, but now we've got lots of cap space. this is just the Knicks doing their stupid fucking thing over and over and over again, where they string their poor fans along over and over. It's like, oh, well, we're going to go young. We're not going to short circuit this entire process this time. And then they turn around and trade the franchise cornerstone. And now they're just dangling this pure fucking bullshit idea of, oh, but we've got heaps of cap space, bro. It's going to be fine. Yeah, you got to spend cap space on somebody. And if you don't land like the two best players, then you're up shit creek, you fucking morons. Which leads me to our final loser of all this. Knicks fans. I mean, what the fuck did they deserve this shit show of a franchise? I mean, they just traded away their best player since Patrick Ewing. Fuck Melo, come on. Yes, he was really good. I get it. But he wasn't better than Patrick Ewing. He wasn't a more iconic Knick than Patrick Ewing. Kristaps was going to be, right? And look, they're just continuing their run of fucking up everything for any Knick fan who's like holds out this tiny little bit of fucking hope that maybe their team's not going to be a piece of shit. They fucked up Linsanity. They fucked up the entire Melo era by trading for Melo instead of just going, hey, look, we're going to wait 3 months and then sign you outright because Carmelo wanted a bigger contract with the team that could sign and trade into an extension. It's just clown car shit. I mean, what the fuck are you all doing? Knicks, you signed Jerome James. You fucked up Allen Houston. You had Isaiah Thomas running your fucking thing. You signed Zach Randolph and Eddie Curry at the same time. You had the entire Stephen Murray era. Stephen Marbury, fuck me. I mean, come on. Knicks fans, you don't deserve this. You're losers in this. You deserve to have like 20 years of Kristaps Porzingis, the same way the Mavs just had 20 years of Dirk Nowitzki, and are now probably going to have 20 years of Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis. Two Dirks! Absolutely unreal. Anyway, so we're going to talk about that a little bit more later. Some other news. Anthony Davis, Woj, was reporting teams interested in trading for Anthony Davis are all out there fact-finding, figuring out if he will stick around with their franchise if they trade for him. Apparently, sources tell Woj at ESPN, Davis's plan is to treat any trade destination as a one-year stop, except the Lakers. Teams are apparently learning that Davis' stated intention will be to play the season elsewhere if traded outside of the Lakers, but moved to the Lakers as a free agent in 2020. Now, that's all well and good. You also need to have fucking cap space, though, if you're the Lakers, which means, are you going to waste another year next year with a bunch of fucking one-year contracts if you can't land somebody this offseason that you're like, all right, cool, how much cap space we got? Ah, see you, Notorious KCB, get the fuck out of here. Well, we can sign one max player, cool. And then what happens when you go into the year after? Well, you're up shit creek because you suddenly don't have quite enough money to sign Anthony Davis to his giant, giant max contract. So, Lakers, mate, you kind of need to do this now. Just saying. Boston, apparently, according to Woj, is remaining outwardly fearless in his pursuit of Davis, with word delivered to New Orleans. Hold on to Davis, pass the trade deadline, get into the offseason, wear arm to give you the best possible return on this generational talent. Everybody else on every other team is like, oh man, the fuck? The best part is Dell Demps apparently is just not answering phone calls from the Lakers, which I fucking love every single second of it, until Magic Johnson got on the blower and called him up and Dell Demps answered Magic's phone calls. It's pretty bloody good. So Anthony Davis still in a little bit of limbo. I expect this to change over the weekend. I think we might see a little bit. It's the DeMarcus Cousins thing from a couple of years ago where it's like, oh, you hear like it's all happening. There's like a little bit of a meh, and then bang, it'll all fucking cascade over the next 2-3 days. So I would suspect we've got a shit ton to talk about on Monday about this. And also, we had our All-Star Reserves announced. Oh, yes. The 29 East All-Star Reserves. Ah, Big Simo Ben Simmons, Australia's first NBA All-Star non-Kyrie Irving division. Our first born and raised in Australia All-Star. That's right. Bogut never made one. Luke Longley never made one. Friend of the program, Chris Anstey, never made one. Even Patty Thrills never did. Champion, though. Same with Bangers Baines. Anyway, so Big Simo, Ben Simmons, Kyle Lowry, Big Booty Kyle Lowry, Victor Oladipo, Blake, punch your fucking face in, mate, Blake Griffin, Nikola Vucevic, Chris O. Middleton, and Brad Beal round out the rest of the East. Pretty nice. Not bloody bad. It's not that bad. Everyone's like, wow, it's pretty hard to get to like all the all-stars in the East. I'm like, I don't know, Chris Middleton's pretty fucking good. I'm still not sure if he should be one, but he is. In the West, though, it's a bit tougher. Rusty Westbrook, Dame Lillard, Klay Thompson, Anthony Davis, the Brow, Nikola Jokic, hello, is the Joker. LaMarcus Aldridge and Karl Anthony Towns. Ugh. What is it, all-stars of fucking stinking up the joint? Fucking hell, no Tobias Harris, no Rudy Gobert. For the West, but look, everyone sort of seems like, well, that's a bit shit. Tobias, Rudy, maybe over LaMarcus Aldridge, maybe after Karl Anthony Towns, who knows, but still. Some injury news. LeBron came back today, so that's good. Lucas sat out, but he should be fine. And Kevin Love is back playing 5-on-5 full contact, apparently, according to reports today. That's pretty good. Remember Kevin Love? Champion, Cleveland, unreal. Might be back this weekend, unreal. All right, let's whip through some wraps for the last day in a bit. We're just going to fucking speed through these. Boston smashed Charlotte 126-94. Sure. Boston a 32-19. Charlotte a 24-26. Miami hosted Chicago and lost 105-89 because Miami are apparently a shit show. They shot 38% in this. Best performer was Justice Winslow with 14-6-5. Fuck me. For Chicago, Wayne Selden had 20-8 and fighting Bobby Portis. Fighting around the world, had 26-4. Miami now 24-25. Chicago 12-40. Jeez. Chicago, you got to stop fucking like winning all these games, man. Dallas, just before they made the giant trade with the Knickerbockers, were in New York and they beat the Knicks 114-90 yesterday. Isn't that nuts? I fucking love it. It's so weird, but I mean, kind of cool. So, way to go, I guess. It's still fucking strange. I'll just tell you, man. I'll just tell you. Look, Dennis Smith Jr. has a triple-double and then the Knicks trade for him. It's the most fucking hilarious thing in the world. He had 13, 10, and 15, smashed it. And it's like, oh, the Knicks were just watching going, fuck, we need a guy who can get a triple-double. Oh, who's not playing? Kristaps. Yeah, we'll trade him for Dennis Smith Jr., man. Yep. New York Knickerbockers are now 10-40 and the Mavs were, after that, 23-27. And then after their extra loss today, 23-28. They lost to Washington 89-107. Had that backwards, sorry. Beal had 25-6-6. And India just a fucking just shit show without Victor. Thad had 13. Three dudes had 12. Indy, they've dropped to 32-18 all of a sudden. 32-19 after today as well. Memphis, that was Minnesota. That was 25-26 for them. Pretty good. Oh, wait, that was Minnesota. Yeah, I'm talking about Washington. Fuck me. I'm all over the shop. 22-29 for Washington. Memphis and Minnesota was the one after that. And this was an absolutely wild game. Minnesota won at 99-97. Conley at 26-8. Marc Gasol at 19-7-4 in the old build up your trade value, boys, kind of game. Karl Anthony Towns, 16-10. Ooh. And Jared Bayless, 19 points and 12 assists. Unreal. Memphis now 20-32, Minnesota 25-26, and sort of just sticking around, you know, a couple of games back, two and a half games back from the eighth seed, not bad. Denver beat New Orleans 105-99 as Anthony Davis sat on the bench, still hanging out. It's all right, my thumb hurts, man. Jahlil fucking Okafor 14-8, continuing his torrid run, and Jrue Holiday 22-6-6. But for Denver, it was the Yorker. Nikola Jokic had his eighth triple-double. 20 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. Denver are now 35-15. Basically half a game back from Golden State at the top of the West. And the Pelicans are 23-29 and slipping ever further. Start tanking. Fire up that tank, New Orleans. Atlanta went into Sacramento and got their ass kicked 135-113. Trae Young had a pretty good one, 23-8. Harry Giles, rather, for Sacramento. Atlanta is 16-34. And Sacramento at 26-25. Unbelievable. And finally, for yesterday, Utah went into Portland and got smoked 132-105. Portland absolutely tore them apart. Had 75 at the half. Unreal. Mitchell had 22 for the Jazz, but it was Dame and CJ smashing them for Portland. Both had 30 before the fourth. Dame ends up with 36. CJ with 30. Unreal. And they started Myers Leonard. Trade value, baby. 16-6-4 he had. Utah 29-23. Portland in fourth in the West at 32-20. Unreal. And then today, Detroit beat a shorthanded Dallas Mavericks 93-89. They had nine players. They started Hassan Ujiri. Unbelievable. And Jalen Brunson. Harry Barnes at 27. Rowdy, Ryan Brocker, friend of the show, had a career-high 27 minutes. We'll talk about him in the Australian Player Watch. For the Pistons, Andre Drummond at 24 and 20. He moved past KG. Kevin Garnett with more 2020 games to 22nd all-time. Unbelievable. Blake had 24, 10 and 6. And Reggie Jackson had 17 points and 9 assists. Dallas, 23 and 28. Detroit, 22 and 28. How is 22 and 28 ninth in the East? Fuck, the East sucks. God damn. Indy lost to Orlando. Orlando 107-100. Pacers, look, Miles Turner is their only good player now. 27, apart from Domantas Sabonis, the Souvlaki King. Miles, 27 points, 7 rebounds, center 16 shooting. The Souvlaki King had a rough one. 1 of 9 from the field for 4 points. Jesus. For the Magic, T-Ross, 11 of 18 for 30. Vooch had 17, 10, and 5. Love a good contract year, Vucevic. Look, 13 and 13 for Johnny Isaac. He's looking good. And 20 points for DJ Augustine. Magic smoked him. They are now 21 and 31 are the Magic. Indy dropped to 32 and 19. They've lost 4 straight after winning that one game where he went out against the Raptors. They've lost 4 since. Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. And if it is, if they go to Toronto and beat them, which they did, 105-92. Pascal Siakam, 28 points. Unreal, 12 and 19, but it wasn't enough because Kawhi Leonard, that's right, Kawhi, shot 7 of 20. And Kyle Lowry, big booty Kyle Lowry, shot 4 of 11, while Danny Greenway went 0 of 4, and Serge Ibaka went 4 of 15. Oh, Jesus, that's not great. For the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo had 19 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. Fuck, he's good. Chris O'Middleton, 18, 6, and 4. And Bledsoe put on a Bledsoe. 14, 8, 6, and 4. They were everywhere, Milwaukee. Their defense was absolutely unreal in this game. Toronto dropped to 36 and 16. Milwaukee improved to 37 and 13, which is the best record in the NBA, which means boo, and it's the best record easily in the East as well, meaning Coach Buds is going to be the East coach for the All-Star game. Unbelievable. 37 and 13, best record in the NBA. They smoked the second team in Toronto in their house. Unreal. Brooklyn went to San Antonio and just lost. Play got stopped in this game because of bats. Where's Ginobili when you need him? 117-114, Spurs win this. Nets sunk at the end because of a bunch of missed D'Angelo Russell threes at the very end of that game. It was a bit of a tough one. What are you going to do? He ended up 10 of 26, 2 of 7 from 3 for his 25 points, 9 assists, 18 for Damari Carroll and Joe Harris as well. For the Spurs, Derek White had a career high 26. He was unreal. 15, 10, and 4 for DeMar DeRozan there. And 20 and 13 for LaMarcus Aldridge, your newly minted, again, All-Star. Brooklyn dropped to 28 and 25, but they are still 6th in the East. Cruising along as well. They'd probably be looking to scooch up in where Indy's spot is and trying to be the 5th best in the East. And the Spurs are 31 and 22, and don't look now, but they're 5th in the West. Just behind Portland. Unbelievable. Philly beat Golden State in an absolute rip snorter of a game. No Klay Thompson for Golden State. 113-104. In Golden State, Philly win. This was fucking huge. It was their first win over Golden State since 2013. Unreal stuff. Steph Curry, probably the quietest 41 ever. He hit 10 of 18 from 3. 25 points for the coward Kevin Durant. But Boogie! And Draymond Green combined for 4 of 14 shooting. Yeah, that won't do it. On the Sixers, Big Simo Ben Simmons had an absolute rip snorter of a game. 26 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. Awesome down the stretch. Celebrated his newly minted all-stardom with one of the better games you'll see him play. He was a menace defensively as well. Joel Embiid had 26 points, an 8 of 24 shooting night. Kobe, 20 rebounds as well. So 26 and 20, 5 assists, 2 steals. Jimmy Butler went 3 of 12, though, but they still won. Unreal. Golden State, they dropped to 36 and 15. They've lost at home now to Philadelphia, Milwaukee, there it's Algonquin for the good land, and Toronto, the top 3 teams in the East. That's pretty wild, isn't it? So if any of those guys make it to the finals, you know they're not afraid of the Warriors in Golden State. Philly are now 34 and 18 and cruising along in the East, hanging out there in third. Nice. And then finally, Lakers and Clippers had a all-staples affair, 123-120. They win in overtime. Do the Lakers in LeBron James' return home. Well, return game back from his weird groin injury. He's like, oh, yeah, so we've showed you guys enough of the young guys. Yeah, cool. I better come back now. Oh, nice. For the Clips, Boban Marjanovic, my best mate, ran into him on the streets of New York, came in and crushed it, took a break from scaring a bunch of Eastern European villagers and changed the game. 11 points and 5 rebounds in 13 minutes. Clippers were out of this. He came in, bang, goes to overtime. Playing more Clippers. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Maybe Doc Rivers just hates Eastern Europeans. I don't know. Tobias Harris had 15 and Sweet Lou Williams had 24. But crucially missed a bunch of free throws down the stretch that probably killed him. For the Lakers, LeBron James had 24, 14 and 9 on 9 of 22 shooting. That's some Kobe shooting. Spindles Ingram had 19. Lance Make Him Dance played some guitar and had 20. And Rondo had 14, 13 and 7. Good win for the Lakers, considering they were trying their hardest to lose this at the end. But the Clippers, they moved to 28 and 24, still in the playoff hunt. They're in eighth. And the Lakers, 27 and 25, just nipping at their heels. Unbelievable stuff. What a fun couple of days. All right, so let's do the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That is a knife. Not a player. The Mavs front office, holy shit, getting the Zinger Burger. Who is it? The Extreme Zinger Meal.
The Extreme Zinger Meal.
To pair with Luka Doncic rather than hoping that Luka and Dennis Smith Jr. would work out. Just accelerated their fucking move into legit title contention. Basically, as soon as everyone's healthy. As opposed to basically an okay team with like Luka Doncic as its sort of, you know, basic centerpiece. And then trying and trying and trying to get another good dude. They've already done it. They've done it. As opposed to being an okay team for the next couple of years as Luka became the next Dirk, they went out and got the other next Dirk. Now they got two Dirks to go with the original Dirk. That's fucking awesome. So the Mavs front office, amazing work. Great shit. Good on yous. What about old mate, no mates though? Oh, love this one.
Old mate, no
mates. Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no
mates. Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, we've got a bunch of them. We've got Jim Dolan there in the New York Knickerbockers of New York City owner. Everyone fucking hates him. They're like, oh, I can't believe Dolan fucked this up again. Then all the fucking vitriol of the Knicks fans turn to fucking Kristaps, and it's like all of a sudden he's soft and he's injury prone and he demanded a trade, which is all bullshit. And so everyone just like turned on him as quickly as fucking possible. But old mate, no mates today actually goes to the Lakers and Rob Pelinka, their GM, because Dell Demps power moved, fucking totally alphaed this Rob Lowe lookalike. And which that's the fucking best. When you power move a Rob Lowe lookalike, like you're in a fucking power move sort of alpha fucking mountaintop, just raining down fucking giant arching ropes of golden jism over everybody, right? Like there is nothing sadder than Rob Pelinka having to go to your boss and be like, can you call the Pelicans? They're not answering my calls. And going to Magic and going, Magic Johnson, can you please call them? They're not answering my phone calls. Like, Rob, you're a big boy now. You should make them answer your phone calls. He's like, but they won't. I just want to trade for Anthony Davis. Magic's like, all right, where's my phone? I'll call them. It's pretty brutal, man, when you're going to get your boss to call them for you. Tough. So yeah, Rob Pelinka with Dell Demps not answering his phone calls is fucking awesome. He is definitely old mate, no mates. And everybody else as well around the league going, man, fuck the Lakers. We don't want to help them out. Don't help them out. And the Pelicans are like, we don't want to help them out. We're not answering their fucking phone calls. Love it. Definitely old mate, no mates. Spud of the night though.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Well, there's a lot of spuds. Justin Holiday went 0 of 12 versus Chicago. Against Minnesota. Jalen Brunson went 4 of 14 today. Boogie went 3 of 10 while Draymond went 1 of 4. But look, I might give this to Lou Will, choking down the stretch against the Lakers. Missed his last three free throws straight, was shooting 90% for the year, and probably cost the Clippers at least getting it to overtime again. That was pretty tough. Bit spud-worthy. Shot like shit. Poor Lou Will. Sorry, mate, but that's how it goes. Panting of the night. Oh, Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, sent the coward Kevin Durant shot all the way back to OKC wearing a stupid fucking backpack. Absolutely blocked the shit out of Kevin Durant, did Jonah Bolden. Unbelievable. Other panting of the night. This goes to the Knicks just because, look, I mean, Jesus, way to show your ass, right? Come on, man. And the weird part about all this as well, like with the panting, you've been pantsed. why deal him so quickly? If it's like, all right, cool. He wants out. Fucking cool. It's open season, mates. Hey, rest of 29 NBA teams. Show us what you got. Like, why the fuck not just do it? Like, it's the extreme Zinger meals. What, the fully charged burger? The supercharged burger.
Supercharged Zinger burger.
Yeah, you give up anything and you make it a giant fucking bidding war, you idiots. This isn't rocket surgery. Like, it's the same thing with Boogie being dealt to New Orleans. It's like Sacramento turned around and went, oh, do you want Boogie? And like New Orleans like, have you told anybody else? And they're like, no. It's like, yeah, we'll take him. Here's Buddy Hield. Here's some first round picks. Yeah, thanks. We'll take Boogie. Same thing fucking happened. It's like apparently San Antonio, Brooklyn, New Orleans were like interested in Kristaps all of a sudden. And then he was just gone to Dallas. It's like, are you fucking telling me, Knicks, that no one could top Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Wes Matthews, and like one protected first round pick and another first round pick? Start a fucking bidding war, you morons. Jesus. Got me a bit heated. Anyway, that was a pantsing and a half, wasn't it? All right, what about better than Lonzo Ball / Trae Young for today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody, as long as that involves walking into the arena bereft of actually playing, if you're Lonzo. But Trae Young, no one was better than him if we're talking rookies in the last 2 days, because he put up a 26-8, and he was awesome against Sacramento. Diaz of Fox is struggling at the moment, and Trae just was really, really good, even though Atlanta got shit pumped. You know, just how it goes. So that's a pretty easy better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball, because Trae Young was the best of the two, and Lonzo is hurt. So it's pretty easy. What about Dickhead of the Week, though?
Dickhead of the Week!
All right, Dickhead of the Week, this is the Pelicans. I mean, for all this fucking shit talking about the Knicks and everything, look, we're probably going to give this to the Knicks. We'll just give it to the Knicks, but still. I just want to say this. The Pelicans, for sparing Anthony Davis and like taking him off the end of their promotional video to save him, what, being booed at New Orleans? Who the fuck are you trying to protect, the Pelicans? What the fuck are you doing? The guy literally just asked for a trade and you're like, oh, we don't want him to get booed by our fans. They should fucking boo him. He just literally spat in their face and went, fuck your city. I want out of here. Sorry, fellas. See ya. They should fucking boo him. If they've got him up on the thing, he's still on the team. Put his fucking shitty stuff in the video. Let him boo. Fucking get the fuck out of here. Nut up, you fucking cowards. Jesus Christ, the Pelicans. Just do it. Oh, his feelings might get hurt. Yeah, he's faking an injury at the moment. He's trying to force his way to the fucking Lakers. Hurt his feelings. Who gives a shit? Anyway, but also Dick of the Week just goes to the entire Knicks organization, because who knows what the fuck you idiots are doing. All right, we're back in a second with Yeah Nah.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. It's Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, should Rudy Gobert Zestafel Tower? I shall block your shot. Should he have been an all-star? Yeah Nah. Yeah, I mean, it's a fucking, I don't know why we've still got this stupid East and West conference bullshit with the reserves. I mean, like, it's not East and West in the teams. So why are we picking from a limited pool? Like, Rudy Gobert should replace Victor Oladipo. Just because he's in the West, it makes no fucking sense that he's not, because it's not East versus West. It's so fucking dumb. Anyway, Gobert should have been an all-star, probably over LaMarcus Aldridge and probably over Karl Anthony Towns. Just saying. Will LaMarcus Aldridge be the last player picked in the All-Star Draft? Yeah, nah, yes. Yes, he fucking will be. And it's going to be funny as shit. Sorry, LaMarcus. But no one likes you, mate. All right, some Zinger stuff. Let's do it. Did the Mavs win the Zinger trade? Yeah, nah, yes. I already mentioned this at the top. They got the best player. You just hope that he comes back healthy and, like, if he does, then you're fucking laughing. Yeah, I get that he's like, you know, he's had a couple of injuries here and there. He's also a 7'3" defensive menace who can fucking stroke it offensively and be a fucking beast on both ends. Come on, man. Who the fuck are we kidding here? And hey, is this also why no one likes ESPN? Because Kevin Pelton wrote, from the outside, however, it's too much to be worth giving up both Smith and draft picks. Yeah, that's why everyone's like, ESPN's a fucking joke. Get the fuck out of here. Mate, everybody in the NBA would trade Dennis Smith Jr. and picks for the fully charged Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Who is it? The Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Supercharged Zinger Burger. Yeah. Come on, man. Get the fuck out of here. Next one. Are the Knicks the worst franchise in the NBA? Yeah, nah. Yes. Yeah, right. We get it. So you make this move, what, to open up two max salary spots? You're using Kristaps Porzingis as a salary dump? That's the stupidest fucking thing I'll ever hear. I mean, who are you getting with that money that's better than Zinger? Like, Dore, you trade Zinger and then sign what? Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and draft Zion Williamson? All right, cool. What's the likelihood of Dore? 5%? Kyrie doesn't want to come. KD doesn't want to come. Suddenly you're fucking, what, Dore? You've got the fourth pick. You've got Jimmy Butler and Kemba Walker. How do you feel about that, Knicks? Fucking horrible, right? When you could add Kristaps Porzingis, now you got Kemba Walker. I mean, radical. What about Dorsey? C. You keep the Zinger, you sign Kevin Durant, and then you draft Zion Williamson or something. Yeah, fucking just keep Zinger. Like, you're going to have enough money for one dude anyway. This is so fucking dumb. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, next one up. Are the Mavs a legit title contender next year? Whoa. Yeah, maybe if the Zinger comes back, if he's feeling good and he's healthy. Because look, we don't know where the Kevin the Coward, Durant, and Boogie will be next year, but we know there's a very good chance that KD is not going to be in Golden State and Boogie definitely won't be. So suddenly, there's a little bit of a knockdown at the very top of the West, and maybe the Mavs, with a slightly older Luka Doncic, a healthy Kristaps Porzingis, they're hanging out in that sort of top-ish tier in the West with Houston, Lakers, OKC, maybe Portland, Denver. Unbelievable. Feeling it. And then finally, should Portland, Brooklyn, San Antonio, and other teams have jumped in before the Mavs, Knicks could finish their deal? Yeah, nah, fuck yeah. Where were the Nets? Mate, Zinger loves New York. He doesn't want to move. He would have happily just gone across the fucking water. It's the East River. You can see it basically from MSG. I mean, well, not really. But still, Zinger, come on. He loves New York. What are you doing? Nets, come on. He wouldn't have to move. Portland, where the fuck were they? San Antonio, they could have like managed to like finagle something. I don't know. Absolute joke that this was like reported, comes out straight away. It's like, oh yeah, this is the best move we could have gotten. Really? Really, is it? Next up, finally, is the NBA the best? Yes. Come on, man. It's Super Bowl week and all anyone is talking about is Anthony Davis and Kristaps Porzingis and NBA All-Star reserves. Unreal stuff. All right, which means time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at my play.
Look at me, look at me, look at me. I think the Mavs with Luka and the Zinger would be better than the Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis in 1.5 years. Nice one. Also, I want more Billy Crystal full-time on with Ralph Lawler on those Clippers games. That was really fun today. I saw some people criticizing him. It's like, he's his first time doing it. This is fucking awesome. Love Billy Crystal. Anyway, finally, step on in to Outback. It's Outback Takehouse. TGIF, am I right? You know what that means at Outback. 4-for-1 oil drum cans full of Fosters. Icy cold Fosters that no one back in Australia even fucking drinks because it's horse piss. But still goes great with a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is Kristaps. The truth will come out Instagram story that he posted was about him getting traded all because he was railing David Fizdale's wife. Only at Outback. Jesus. Now, another Outback Takehouse, Steve Mills and Scott Perry traded the Zinger because he was the last vestige of the Phil Jackson reign. They always wanted Dennis Smith Jr. instead of Frankie Smokes as well, and they finally got their man by trading the Phil Jackson draft pick. Only at Outback. Ooh, is it because Steve Mills and Scott Perry? Well, Steve Mills is engaging in some petty wars. Is that right? Nice one. That's a good Outback Takehouse. Love it. All right, we'll be back in a second with some Australian Player Watch and a bunch of other stuff right after this one.
Oi, oi, oi. It's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
Hello,
All right, we're back. It's Australian Player Watch. Let's do the damn thing. Big Simo, Ben Simmons in the win over Golden State. Sixers massive win. He was unbelievable. 26 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. Awesome down the stretch, as mentioned. Incredible defensively. Just a behind-the-back pass to Jimmy Butler late that was just unbelievable. He was in passing lanes. He was everywhere. Way to celebrate your first All-Star nod, Big Simo, by smashing it. Unreal. Speaking of smashing it, Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, in that same game, he had 8 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 2 blocks, one of which demanded Kevin the Coward Durant. As I said, sent it packing all the way back to OKC. Unreal. Good stuff, Jonah Bolden. Joe Ingles, the jingler, in the loss to Portland yesterday, he had 14 points, 3 of 5 from the field goal, from 3. Yeah, use your words. 2 of 4 from 3, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, and a steal in the loss. Tough one. No games for Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, still not back. King Deli of Maribara, first of his name, Smasher of Tins, and Deng Adel did not play. Cavs didn't have any games. Patty Mills, Patty Thrills, in the win over the Nets. He had a massive game. He had 17 points, went 6 of 13 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3. Yeah, 17 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 2 steal. Unreal. Thon McCur did not play again against the Raps. Hopefully he gets moved before the trade deadline or the Bucks decide to play him. Milwaukee, it's not such a good land for if you're Thon Song. Aaron Bangers Baines in the win over Charlotte. He played 9 minutes, went 1 of 2 from the field for 2 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. Ryan Rowdy Brockoff today against the Detroit Basketball Pistons. A career high 27 minutes, went 3 of 5 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3. For 7 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and was a plus 12. That's a team high for the game. Unreal. On your Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. And Mitchie Creek, the Creek Freak, did not play against San Antonio after getting a nice big run in the Nets' previous game. Bit of a shame, but now what are you going to do? Good shit. Mitchie, they'll ease you into it, mate. You'll be fine. All right, let's do a couple of segments as we do on a Friday. Let's do a Mark Brakey, sweaty, hairy guy. Oh, this week goes to Davis Bertans, mate. Just watching the Spurs, he's the sweatiest, hairiest thing you'll ever seen since like my mate Paul's dad in his Speedos. He was like Robin Williams level hairy too. Jesus, it's pretty crazy. And on Friday, we can also throw in, how about we do? We haven't done this for a little while. Let's give it a great moment in NBA Australia stat history, shall we?
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
Oh, yes, Big Simo Ben Simmons is the first Australian, the first Australian All-Star ever, which is absolutely unreal. It's because, you know, just averaging, what, a lazy 17-9-9 throughout the year. Absolutely crushing it. But don't forget, last year, as a rookie, in this this time last year, in the week, he played 5 games in about, like, the sort of 8-9 days leading up to the announcement of All-Star. He averaged 28-7 while shooting 66.7% while pushing for an All-Star berth. Didn't get named. He had 24-7 on this day a year ago. And then finally, today, he gets his NBA All-Star nod, the Prince of Box Hill, Dave Simmons' son. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, you absolute superstar. Congratulations for making it as the first Australian NBA All-Star ever. All right, we'll be back with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in and some game previews. Let's say right after this.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board. And how about we give it to Joe Ingles as well? Today, he tweeted out, for a game that preaches defense wins championships, Rudy Gobert deserves to be an all-star. There's no one like him in the league whilst being super efficient on offense. Hashtag robbed. Ah, jingler. I can't agree more. Also, Ben Simmons tweeted out just a little bit, you know, apropos to the great moment in NBA Australia stat history. Ben Simmons tweeted out, thank you to everyone for the well wishes on my All-Star nomination. It's truly a blessing. Great team win tonight. Hashtag OTTNO. On to like New Orleans? I don't know. Flame emoji. Unreal stuff. All right. Great shit. That's some inspiring stuff from our Australian ledgers. Let's do some game previews, though, for the weekend, shall we? We've got a shit ton of good games. And because we've got the Super Bowl on, Monday, Australia time, we're front-loaded for basically American Saturday. So our Saturday, we've only got 5 games. And Sunday, we've got 12. And then on actual Super Bowl, Monday for us, we've only got 3. So a couple of nice lead-ins, actually. Okay, see you, Boston. Anyway, so let's do tomorrow's games, and we'll look at some odds. I think we did pretty well today, actually, with our tips. But anyway, Memphis, they go to Charlotte. Charlotte, 5.5-point favorites at home. I will take that. Charlotte, Memphis actually really gum up the works. No, actually, give me Memphis plus 5.5. Memphis, gum up your works, and Charlotte aren't exactly a fucking offensive juggernaut, are they? Boston go to New York. That's right. They go to play the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City. The Knicks are 13.5-point underdogs, and I'm going to take the Celtics minus 13.5. I think there is an almighty beatdown coming from the Celtics to the Knicks. It's going to be a 20-pointer. Easy. The Thunder go to the Miami Heat. Oh, it's a 2012 NBA final rematch. The Thunder are 2.5-point favorites on the road, and I'll take that. I think the Miami Heat are a bit of a rabble. I mean, Jesus, they just got flogged by Chicago. Like, what are we talking about here? Okay, so you're going to go in and, like, shit the bed? Who knows, but probably not. So give me OKC, minus 2.5. Atlanta go to Utah. Utah are 11.5-point favorites at home. I'll take the Jazz. Atlanta might be a little bit worn out on this road trip. They tend to get worn out by the roadies, young team. So, yeah, give me the Jazz, minus 11.5. And finally, with our odds, before we get stuck into just making straight picks, Houston at Denver. What a great game this is. Nuggets, 4.5-point favorites at home. And I will take Denver. I think Houston are still going to try to figure out how to get Chris Paul back into the fold and get him all seamless and everything. So Sunday's 12 games. We've got some awesome ones. Clippers go to Detroit. Oh, shit. It's the Blake Griffin Bowl. That's right. The Clippers are going to Detroit. I will take the Pistons. I think Blake will have a big game and really take it to the Clips. Chicago visit Charlotte. I'll take the Hornets on a back-to-back, but they are home. I think they'll win that against Chicago. Brooklyn play Orlando, which feels like the 27th time I've said that this season. Give me the Nets. I think they bounce back from a tough loss to the Spurs and win that one. Milwaukee, it's Algonquin for the good land. It will be the good land when they visit Washington and beat the Wizards. Dallas play, who is it, Stephen A. Smith? Is it Cleveland?
Cleveland!
That's right, it's Cleveland. Look, give me Dallas. I think they'll be energized, supervised, incentivized to beat the Cavs, and I think they'll win that. Indiana play Miami. I think Miami will actually, look, they'll play the night before against OKC. I think they'll take care of business against Indy, though. It'd be a weird sort of bounce back game for them. The Pelicans visit San Antonio. The Spurs should smash them. Lakers play Golden State. Unreal. LeBron James going to up there to San Francisco, Oakland, and seeing how he goes against his nemesis. Should be fun. Give me the Warriors, though. I think they smoke him. Denver play Minnesota. That's a tasty one. Denver on a back-to-back traveling. I might take Minnesota. They might sneak one out. Atlanta against Phoenix. Oh, Atlanta on a fucking back-to-back on the road. I reckon Phoenix eke one out there. Houston travel to Utah. Both on a back-to-back. I'll take Utah at home. They stay at home. Philly plays Sacramento, and they should smash them, should the Sixers. And then finally, Super Bowl Monday, Memphis at New York. Give me the Grizzlies. OKC at Boston. I think Boston will win. That'll be a great game, though. Clippers at Toronto is the last one. Give me the Raptors. They bounce back after a couple of days off. And, of course, we have the New England Patriots versus the LA Rams, and I will take my Patriots. I'll be sitting there drinking a million beers Monday and then doing a podcast after the Super Bowl. So we might be fucking steaming. We might even have some guests. You never know. So you know what? That's it. We'll be back on Monday post-Super Bowl with a bunch of tins in us talking shit. Should be great. Unreal. All right. In the meantime, make sure you're all over NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good shit. We're all over it on the weekends. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, would you? Google Podcasts as well. Stitcher. Follow us on Spotify. It really, really, really helps out if you just like fucking bang a 5-star review on NBA Australia. Through iTunes or whatever. It'd be unreal. Thanks to From Ozzo for the intro and outro song, but go check out House Hats, their new band. They're fucking awesome. You hear Yeah Nah. And yeah, I've been broken plays behind Yeah Nah every day. It's awesome. Big thanks to Fascinator. They've got a new video out as well. It's awesome. Go check that on YouTube, Facey. Fascinated. God damn, they're good. Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout NBA Australia. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. And that's it, man. Stick around for a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. And we will catch you on Monday, hopefully after the Patriots have won another Super Bowl. It's going to be fun. All right. We'll catch you Monday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, go Patriots! All right, then welcome to the show. I'm Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. And look, because of all this latte drinking, left-wing, SJW, snowflakes everywhere, look, mate, someone has to be out here telling it like it is, mate, and that's just what I do, mate. It's like I talk about betting commercials, the Sydney traffic, mate, Australian media, the hypocrisy of capitalism, all the good shit, mate. And if you don't like my opinions, you can go get stuffed, eh, mate? So, all right, let's go to the Twitter machines and slam some Twitter snowflakes. Okay, so what do we got here? Oh, this is pretty funny stuff. Oh, nice one. Okay, mate, so this is great, mate. I'm just going to retweet this thing about an open secret about Hollywood and just say, cesspool. Yeah, nice one. You can figure out what that is about, mate. Oh, nice one, Bogey. That'll show them. Okay, what else do we have this week? Oh, there's some pretty good ones. Oh, mate. Oh, mate. I love this one. Have you seen this one? Oh, Reza Panahi. She tweeted out about a 4.5-year minimum term for this vicious axe attack. Incredible. Oh, better retweet this one. It's from thenews.com.au. It's my favorite website. Wow. Smack my head. Oh, mate. Just all these vicious criminals back there out there on the streets, isn't there? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, what else is there? Okay, mate. Oh, this one's a great one. So, have you ever like read a bunch of shit on the internet and you're just like, what the fuck is this all on the internet? It's unbelievable, mate. So, how about what happens? Here we go. I'll top this one out. What happens when all the good information is behind paywalls and all the bad information is free and plentiful? Oh my God, mate. Did you ever think about that, mate? Did you ever think about that? Unbelievable. Oh, and this is a good one from my favorite, Sam Newman. He tweeted out. Oh, I better retweet it. Retweet this one from Sam Newman. Kvitova and Osaka, Grand Prix tennis. What a change. What a delight. No prima donnas, no elitist bullshit. Oh, yeah. So many elitists of that bullshit. Am I right? Unbelievable, mate. What else is there? Oh, some pretty good stuff on my Twitters today. Oh, did you watch all the NBL games from the night before? I watched them last night and unbelievable. These fucking refs, mate. Because the people came to watch you, smack my head. Okay, what else do we have? Oh, some pretty good ones. Oh, this is great, mate. Blatant drug use. Rainbow Serpent was hijacked by organized crime. I'm going to retweet this one and make a joke. Organized crime testing stations upon entry to all music festivals is a must in 2019. Nice one, Bogey. There's this other great one from The Hill. They said thousands demand Nike recall Air Max shoes saying logo is offensive to Muslims. Oh, I better tweet this one out. Bigoted shoes. Smiling, laughing, crying emoji. Nice one, Bogey. That's some funny stuff, mate. That is some funny stuff. What else? Oh, this is pretty great. My favorite thing ever. The Australian, they tweeted out that Clementine Ford has resigned as a columnist at the Nine newspapers after she was cautioned by management for calling Scott Morrison a fucking disgrace, mate. That's funny as shit, mate. Somehow, I've come to the assumption that this is your fault, at the Bartsman. I love that guy. He's funny as shit, mate. And then the last one, what do you reckon? Yeah, I'm going to retweet out my favorite Twitter account, Titania McGrath. She said, I'm going to retweet it. If you find yourself laughing at stand-up comedy, it probably isn't sufficiently progressive. Nice one, Bogey. That's funny as shit, mate. Oh, that's going to get all those left-wing SJW snowflakes all up in arms, isn't it? Okay, so that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Andrew Bogut. Join us next week on NBA Australia for more Andrew Bogut slams some Twitter snowflakes from Twitter.